I want God's way to be my way.
Shalom and blessings to everyone. We want to wish a happy new year to all people, all believers, brothers and sisters who've been following the Reflections on Faith podcast. And I am so excited and so glad to have Brother Nzima with me. And welcome, Brother Nzima.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Yeah, and how is Chatama?
Well, Chatama is very good, very wonderful, very blessed. We have seen a lot of great things the Lord has done in that little place.
Amen.
Yes.
And there's really no amount of time, you know, which we really can have to exhaust all the testimonies,
that's right.
The blessings.
Yes.
And you know what? During the crusade, how many people did we baptize?
36 people were baptized.
36, but after the crusade, how many souls have been baptized?
So, after the crusade up to now, we've baptized about 20 people.
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's amazing how the church is growing so fast.
That's right.
And may I also take this opportunity, Brother Nzima, to mention that through the efforts of, you know, friends and partners we have in the ministry, we were able to raise up a church building there.
That's right.
But,
yes.
Well, because of the various ministry expenses, the church building is not yet roofed. And it is my desire and prayer that we may be able to roof it, and so that people can have a convenient place where to be, because the number is increasing and the makeshift structure is becoming small.
Yes.
And you are doing a great work there, because almost every week testimonies are coming through, people getting delivered from evil spirits, from powers of witchcraft and all that. And then those testimonies have become advertisement, like a billboard, causing a curiosity, you know, among people to come. And it is my prayer that we should be able to roof the structure. And if you are listening to this and the Lord puts it on your heart to help us, to help our brethren there, quickly roof the structure, put windows and all that, so that sometime in the near future we can have a conference there, you know, and more meetings inside a church building. You are please welcome. Just contact me and we'll give you the number at the end of this podcast. Now, Brother Nzima, you were the one who ministered to us in the assembly here.
That's right.
On the first Sunday of this new year, because during the crossover night, we had an overnight. We had the Rufunsa Church came to join us.
Yes.
And the other fellowship in Chawama also, they came together, and the church here in Lusaka in Makeni. And it was a wonderful, glorious time. And but then the first Sunday of this year, you ministered to us, and the topic, the sermon, it was wonderful. And you know, we keep playing it with my wife Nora. We keep listening to it. And the other day, Sister Dorothy Kiari from Kenya, you know, I think she wrote you.
Yeah, she had written to me about the song.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing I love whenever I'm replaying it. You sang a song there.
Yes.
And Sister Dorothy was telling you how, you know, she was blessed listening to that. She didn't know you are a singer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But that's our secret here in the local assembly of how much you are a singer, you know. How much a singer you are. But well, it was anointed singing, and
we thank the Lord.
It was amazing. But the subject, the sermon, it was titled The Slumber Party.
Yes, Pastor.
And you know, every time I listen to that, I just love the sermon. I keep playing it, and it shakes my heart, because that is the condition of the church today.
Yes.
People whose hearts were once on fire for the word of God, there's a general relaxation that has swept across message churches and different assemblies. You talk of the charismatic circles, things have gone berserk. And but that was a clarion call that God has never called any Christian to slumber or to be asleep.
Yes.
We need to stand up, and like soldiers, we need to be on our post of duty. And so for this podcast, we just want to go through, you know, some nuggets, you know, points you mentioned, you know, in the sermon, brother.
Yes.
And so if we have a title for this podcast, I want us to read from Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And it is my hope that through this podcast, all those who are zealous, those who really have the hunger for God, I hope we can ignite this passion in us to be more focused and determined this year. And this year, I don't want to double my efforts. I want to triple my efforts in winning souls for the kingdom.
Amen.
And this is something which is no longer popular. You know, people feel everything has been done. Everyone is a Christian. Hey, that's a big lie. There is still a lot of work out there in the missions. And now let us read Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. The scripture says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits."
Amen.
Now, do you realize, Brother Nzima, that you can be in Christ, you can be a believer, but just the state of being a believer does not really make you strong or to do exploits.
That's right.
It's the knowledge you have about the God you're serving.
That's right.
It's the knowledge you have about the power you've been given. You can have power in your hands. If you are ignorant of it, you will be defeated whilst holding that powerful sword. When you read the scriptures in the story of the mighty men of David, there is one fellow, he didn't have a spear, he only had a stick in his hands. And when the enemy approached him, the enemy had a sword. Yet this man was so skillful that he was able to grab the sword from his enemy and killed his enemy with his own sword. So the enemy had a sword in his hand. A sword represents power. But you see, if you don't have knowledge, you don't have the skill for how to use that sword, that power, you will be defeated. You will be as weak as we can be. Now, Brother Nzima, what prompted you to come up with this sermon, the slumber party? And by the way, I mentioned for this podcast, we are calling it Doing Exploits for the Kingdom in the Year 2024.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, Pastor, just to maybe go from to the beginning, the word exploits, actually, in simple term, we can say to make full use of something.
Wow.
Now, for me, I was looking at my life for the past 2 years or so. There's an awakening that came into my life. I was a believer, I was a good believer, I was committed, I was doing all this. But I noticed that there was still something lacking in my life. There was something lacking in my life. And when I began to realize, I saw that there's a lot that we need to do. There are a lot of books we need to read. There are a lot of messages we need to listen to. There's a lot of work to be that has to be done. But in the recent years, the devil has come in the midst of our lives in a very subtle way. He's come in form of work. You have to do work. You are busy. You're committed. You're busy. You are all these things. And as a result, our minds are preoccupied by the cares of the world.
Yeah.
How to make money, how to get a good job, waiting for interviews, to study. These things are all right. But Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God."
Right.
So I came to realize that I had a certain potential in me, but I was not making use of it. It's like somebody who's got a mobile phone. I've seen people, they've got a very powerful machine in their hands.
Yeah.
They only use it to make a call. Sometimes they can't even use it for SMSs. And then it just wastes away like that. Not making use of what it is. So exploits is to make the most.
And you know what, Brother Nzima? I mean, I'm a living witness and of how the Lord has raised you. There used to be a time when you were really a coward. You know, you were always scared of even casting out devils.
Yes.
I remember many years back.
All those things they used to.
You know, those years, you remember those years when we were young and we were involved in a deliverance ministry.
Yes.
And we would pray and fast to go pray for people who were demon possessed. And there was this incident of this woman who used to get violent when she gets possessed. And that used to really scare your heart out.
Yes.
When she just starts doing her things. I remember one time she just started manifesting and you packed your Bibles. You said, hey, I don't like this. And that is how you left, you know. But, you know, it's an amazing story to see yes. where you are coming from. Mm-hmm. But how one day you just woke up and
right.
you became aware of the power that God has put in your life. And in Chatama, much of the time, three quarters of your ministry, you are casting out devils. And you've encountered vicious, violent demons there, and people have been delivered.
Pastor, I was so surprised to say what God has given to us. You see, there are certain believers, they think, like I had pointed out, there are certain believers, they think they are sitting on a stone, not knowing they are sitting on a bomb, a nuclear bomb that God has given them
right.
against the enemy. But the devil will do whatever he can to blind you. When he blinds you, you just feel something
uh-huh.
but you can't realize. But when somebody wakes up from slumber, because when
yes.
you slumber, you can't see what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely, you can partially see. Sometimes you have a bit of revival, but when you close your mind to all the noise, all the activities,
yes.
all the worries,
right.
whether it's financial difficulties, sicknesses,
yeah.
whatever problems you're encountering, close your mind and seek the Lord. Then he'll open you up.
And you know, it goes back to, I love the way you explained exploit, because we're talking about doing exploits for the kingdom in the year 2024.
Yes.
And you went to the root meaning of the word, coming from exploit. That is make full use of and derive benefit from a resource. That's the definition I'm getting from Google Dictionary, which is actually Oxford Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And when now you look at the actual meaning of the word exploits, it means taking a bold or daring feat, because you know you are really making full use of that which is in your hands. And that is very true. We can never obtain value from something which we undervalue, something which we don't have the knowledge about. We don't realize how powerful it is.
Yes.
And when a believer has no knowledge of the power which God has put in them, they'll be very weak. They'll easily be tossed to and fro. They'll have a very unstable thought pattern.
Mm.
This day they feel excited. Another day they slip into a state of depression. Another time they are discouraged. But look here. The power God has given us is not an emotion.
Right.
It should not fluctuate with emotions. It doesn't mean when you are feeling low, you think you are weak as a believer. The power which is in us is not at the level of emotion. You
right.
still need to believe that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
Now, moving forward, brother, and you mentioned something during the sermon on the slumber party. You talked about, you were referring to this popular motivation book which speaks about 7 habits of highly effective people.
By a man called Stephen Covey.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a number of things the author talks about there are actually very applicable spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have a quick walk through these 7 habits? And,
yeah. So, you know, it was very interesting to see that, you know, what the scripture says. For example, like the first point, it says we need to be proactive. Meaning, whatever God has to do, you take the first move.
So, Brother Nzima, we're talking about habits which people who are usually effective
and are supposed to do.
And, so and
physical types of spiritual.
And sorry, just to cut in. When we say effective people, I know people who are motivational speakers, they'll just talk about material things of
yes,
this world.
Yes, yes.
But do you realize that here we are talking about this is applicable even in the spiritual work?
That's right.
Like you rightly put it, the natural, you know, types the spiritual.
That's right.
And which people were effective? The Lord Jesus Christ. Which people were effective? The apostles in the early church.
Yes.
Which people were effective? Well, even right in our times, we have ministers of the gospel
right.
who've been effective, you know, in their ministry. And there are many names I can mention of present day fivefold ministers. And some of them you can agree with them, some of them or you may differ a little bit in this and that doctrine, but there seems to be certain fundamental principles of people who have, you know, produced an impact in the body of Christ. Maybe taking your step closer to Christ one way in another by following that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, that ministry is effective. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain people who feel like, well, it seems other people are victorious. Maybe they are gifted in that. No, it's not about being gifted.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain habits we have. These habits can either make us to be effective or they can make us go in circles without making any progress.
That's right.
Whether in our natural lives or in our spiritual lives.
Mm.
And the first habit you mentioned, which people are highly effective,
that is the starting point.
They are proactive, you said.
That's it, proactive. You don't have to wait. Every time, I've seen places, the pastor has to do everything. The pastor has to song lead. The pastor has to make meetings. The pastor has to, everyone is asleep.
That's terrible.
A church can never grow. Why? Because God has entrusted the church with gifts. He has not put all the gifts on the pastor. The pastor is a leader. Not every part of the body is a head.
Mm.
If you see a head without a body, I mean, it means that person is dead.
You've mentioned a very important point, brother.
Yes.
Churches where a pastor does much of the work and other gifts are just in a sleep mode, usually there's no growth in that congregation.
And yes,
it is stagnated. Go on, brother.
And you see, God can never bless us with anything useful if we're not using it.
Mm.
What's the point of being given something that you can't use? So the reason why the Bible talks of Christianity as a body, it means every member matters.
Mm.
Even the person who cleans the church, the person who receives visitors, the person who cooks for the work of the Lord, any little thing you do is very important. But remember, for God to use us, James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It doesn't say God will draw nigh to you, so follow him.
And there's proactiveness in there. There's proactiveness. You have to draw
so he
now.
He wants you to make the first move.
Mm.
It's like you're playing a game with him. He wants you to make the first move.
Yes.
God will be there with a blessing, your healing, your material blessing, your educational blessing, your marital blessing. He's full of those things. But he wants you to make a first move.
Another scripture which speaks about proactiveness. Proverbs 16 verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man. I wish you could read that in NIV or another version. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So it's been given to us to prepare, to do something, to make a plan. And then when we pray, you see, when you say, Lord, lead me, what do you want the Lord to lead you in?
That's right.
Lord, bless me for what? So there has to be a preparation. There has to be a willingness to go in action, because God's answer will never just fall to the ground. God never throws an answer in a vacuum.
That's right.
There has to be a desire. There has to be a passion. There has to be a drive, a desire which shows you want to do something.
Mm. The NIV says it this way. Mm. To human beings belong the plans of the heart.
Wow, that's beautiful.
But from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue.
So there has to be a plan, and God's answer responds to a plan. Do you know there are many believers who use the excuse of waiting upon the Lord? They're just seated.
Mm-hmm.
And they've become dead in where they're sitting.
Yes.
There's nothing that comes out of their desire, you know, to serve the Lord. And in that coldness, their spiritual lives die out.
That's right. There's one point, Pastor, you had mentioned where you said, you see, a person can be given a good meal.
Mm-hmm.
He can be bathing, he can have a good environment, but if he's seated for a long time, that same meal is going to kill him.
Yes.
Because he is not exercising.
Right.
So whatever we receive, we need to make the most. So God has given us a blessing for ourselves and for others.
So going by the example you've mentioned, one can be eating a balanced diet.
Yes.
And that is good. Or you can boast of how right you are in your doctrine, but if all you do is receiving and hearing the word without spiritual activity, what happens in the physical happens to you spiritually. In the physical, if you're just eating, no matter how balanced that meal is, without any physical activity, it is going to create a complexity in your body. It's going to create a disease condition like type 2 diabetes or such kind of illnesses or obesity and all that. So there has to be proactiveness. Quickly, let us move on to the second point.
The second one is begin with the end in mind. So I look at Hebrews 11 verse 10. It says, Abraham, that's Abraham. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Yeah.
But we are told in Genesis that Abraham was told to go to a land flowing with milk and honey.
Mm.
So I was looking at the situation where whatever Abraham was going through, it's like he had already seen it. He had seen the real thing behind it.
Mm.
So what does that mean? For us children of God, once we have an encounter, we have the vision.
Mm-hmm.
It means there's nothing that can shake us in this world. That is why the Bible says all things work together for good to
them
that love the Lord. You are doing a business, you make a loss, everything is gone.
Mm.
It's for the good. It's not there to kill you. Why? Because God knows why he's leading you into that path. But most people, they get discouraged.
Mm.
You know, I was actually thinking that, you know, sometimes when you start missionary work, you may only have one or two people when you start.
Mm.
Sometimes somebody backslides. You can get discouraged. But when you know the very goal, what God has called you out to, you won't get discouraged by any of those things, because you know where the Lord is leading you and what he wants you to learn at each stage.
Now, that's a very powerful point, beginning with the end in mind.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I was reading something about strategic planning. And this author said businesses fail not when they start operating. A business succeeds or fails right from the beginning, because when in the beginning, the managers do not have a clear picture of what ultimately in the end they hope to achieve.
Yes.
As they start out their activities, they don't have a sense of how to control these activities, whether they are achieving the goal or not. But a person who starts his activity, having ended it first in a plan or what concept they have in mind, they will be able to know whether now they are making a loss because things are not aligning with the end they have in mind. Now, the same thing applies to us spiritually. You see, Brother Nzima, when we know the goal of our faith, when we have the end in our mind, we know what the book of Revelation 22 speaks about, the holy city, New Jerusalem, a flawless temple, pure, you know, radiating the light of Christ. That is the ultimate picture we see at the end of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that end in mind, we will know how to live our lives. We will know what to do in the present time.
Mm-hmm.
We will know what delays Christ coming right now. We will know what we ought to do. Now, a man who doesn't know his destination, every road appears like a journey to him. And that is why the church is in a fallen condition today, because they don't really know what journey they are on. And a man who doesn't know his journey, every road looks like a destination. But a man who knows his destination, the journey is simple, because they know what to avoid and they know the path to take. Quickly, let us move to the third point.
The third point is we need to put first things first.
What's that?
And that's, now Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And then, the Bible doesn't say most of the things or half of whatever you need. It says all these things will be added unto you. So
that's right.
I believe as believers, we usually miss this point. I've seen churches, sometimes they've got good programs, they've got choirs, they've got rehearsals, they've got all these other activities. But the main thing, the heartbeat, that is seeking the Lord, seeking him in prayer, searching, waiting on him, having spiritual programs in the church, it's lacking. We've seen youngsters, they're just coming up, they can sing, they can play keyboard, they can have all these things, but a true sense of grounding, of spirituality, of discipline in God's word, it's lacking.
And that really speaks about priorities, right?
That's right.
A church should know its mission. A believer should know their mission. Whatever work we do, whether, well, you have some profession, you have some career, look, all those things can only have value if they are connected to the eternal purposes of God. If all whatever resources you have, they're just all about making a living here on earth, living a kind of a life, making a career and all that, well, the time you die, all that vanishes away. But whatever activity you do, no matter how small, no matter how big, if it is connected to the eternal purposes of God, that is really a valuable thing.
Right.
And that is where we say not everyone can be on the mission field.
Yeah, that's true.
But there are other people, God has gifted them with helps. Did you know, Brother Nzima, that
yes.
That's a gift?
That's a gift, yes, yes.
You know, where certain people just have a burden. Mm. When certain missionary work needs to be done, they want to put their funds in there. And when that missionary is out in the field, the souls who are being won for the kingdom of God, it's not really about that person. Mm. The body of Christ has to complement each other. Everyone has to do their part. And it should be all to the glory of God. Let us move on to the fourth point.
Yeah, and the fourth point says you need to think win-win.
Mm.
Meaning, whatever is in your mind, leave no room for doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Leave no room for negativity.
Yeah.
Because Deuteronomy 28:13 says, and the Lord shall not be the head and not the tail.
Yeah.
And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them.
Mm.
That's the point. So, in other words, we are saying, as children of God, we are excelling in everything. Why? Because we are doing it with the Lord. We should leave no room. And the devil is very smart.
Mm.
He plays around our minds. He plays around our psychology to make us think so negative of ourselves, to think of ourselves as failures, to think of ourselves as useless people,
mm.
to think of ourselves as, like you had mentioned, Pastor, to say, there are some people who think Christianity is a gift, holiness is a gift, commitment to God's work is a gift. It's not. It is a mindset. And the Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh
mm.
in his heart. So in other words, a true definition of you, it is your thoughts.
Now, on Sunday, you mentioned something about think win-win.
Mm.
There's something you mentioned. You said, whatever happens to a believer, there's nothing you can call a loss.
That's right.
Whether you're going through a hard time, there is benefit which will come out of that. Maybe God is trying to teach you something.
That's right.
You remember the children of Israel, they were supposed to cross into Canaan. It was a very short journey. Probably it would have taken them a month.
Mm.
But their level of faith was low.
Mm.
They had to go by a longer route. Okay? But well, we don't want to really go through the wilderness because of our unbelief.
Mm.
But whatever we go through, let us reflect and see, what is the Lord trying to speak to me,
mm.
you know, out of this situation? We know that all things work together for good.
Mm.
So rather than, you know, as you get started, whatever it is the Lord has called you to do, it won't be an easy road. There has to be persistence.
Mm, that's right.
If at a certain point you hit into a stone and you fall down, remember, when you are in a race, what will make you lose the race is not the falling down, but the staying down.
That's right.
So pick yourself up, learn from whatever has gone wrong,
mm.
and continue running, because we don't have time to fall down and, well, you feel nothing can work again.
Mm.
I want to speak to you. Pick up all the pieces. Throw them in the hands of God and say, Lord, help me.
Mm.
He is always available. He is a present help in time of need.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Number five.
Number five is seek first to understand, and then you be to be under. Seek first to understand, then be understood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, Pastor, when I first came to the faith, I was very excited.
Mm.
When the word came to me, I was very excited.
Yes.
But as I went along, there are certain things I did not understand.
Mm.
There are certain things that had really affected me. I had put in doubts in my heart, made me think I can't do this work. Why? Because I did not understand the goal of the message. And I still had this denominational mindset, because in the denominational world, they don't really believe that Christianity is unpopular. They believe when you're a Christian, you are popular. You are on top of the billboard. Not
mm.
in the spiritual sense. Mostly it is in the physical sense, material sense. You can't get sick. You can't be lost. You can't
mm.
be broke. You can't have all this. And with that kind of mindset, I realized that the message was different.
Yeah.
And there are certain things I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't fully understand and grasp in the message.
Mm.
Not until I had to give myself to the Lord.
Mm.
I sought him in prayer and started a careful study of the messages and the word. And it has really made me understand what Christianity really is.
You know, this is a very profound point.
Mm-hmm.
When a person becomes very obsessed with wanting to be understood by people,
yes,
that person will fail in their mission in this life,
right,
even before they start their mission, because that's a wrong objective.
Mm-hmm.
Do not make it your goal to be understood by people. First, you need to understand.
That's right.
Understand God. Understand his calling in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize when Satan came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God. Do you realize the devil knew he was the Son of God?
Yes.
But if for one moment Jesus did not understand who he is, he did not understand his mission,
mm-hmm,
an external thought, an external opinion would have shaken him.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened to Adam and Eve. You will be wise as gods.
Mm-hmm.
And once you allow doubt about who you are in Christ, about the good things God has done in your life, you become unstable. You don't know what you are believing, and all your efforts are invested in trying to be understood by the people. One thing is, you end up not being sincere with yourself.
Mm.
Now, there is being sincere with yourself, being sincere with people, and being sincere with God.
Mm.
Which is the most important here?
Being sincere with yourself.
Being sincere with yourself. Because you can never be sincere with people if you're not sincere with yourself.
Mm.
You can never be sincere with God if you're not sincere with yourself.
Mm.
And the thing is, instead of investing time in trying to impress people, of trying to be understood, be sincere, pour out your heart before God. Let him do a work in you.
Mm.
Understand who God is and the grace he has provided you.
Mm.
And when that happens, you will be able to walk with boldness. Like the word of God says, there's a new living way by which we enter the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ, and we enter boldly.
Amen.
Now, that is a very strange scripture, because in the Old Testament, they never entered the Holy of Holies boldly.
Mm.
But what makes us enter boldly? It's because we are not entering by our righteousness. We enter through it, through Christ. And that is where our confidence is.
Amen.
Christ accomplished everything. And when we surrender, he begins to live and manifest his righteousness through our lives.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's talk about sin. Is it synergize? You mentioned about synergize.
Combine two or more forces to make one.
Yeah.
This is where we need to work together. That's why I'm encouraged by Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25.
Mm.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together,
yeah,
as a man of some is, but exhorting one another.
Amen.
And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, why not just have your own time at home? Why not just read the message? Why is it a big deal for us to come together?
Mm.
The Bible emphasizes that we should not forsake this. It does not say you should continue. It says don't forsake it, because he knows the devil will fight it. So I believe, Pastor, there are certain victories that we may not attain when we are not a group.
Yes.
When we come as a group,
right,
there is a certain power, there is a certain strength.
Amen.
Because there is a strength in numbers.
Right.
Yes.
Numbers which are in Christ, of course.
So synergizing is very important, meaning we have to come together all the time.
Yeah.
As children of God, yes, we can pray in our homes, we can have our own fellowships, individual times, but there is a need for fellowship.
You know, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name.
Yes.
Why does it have to be two? Why does it have to be three?
Mm-hmm.
You see, when we come together, we're like flames.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that gets imparted, something which the Lord is doing in another brother. And when I hear your testimony,
mm-hmm,
it encourages me, it gives strength.
Mm-hmm.
And this excites me, Brother Nzima, about the convention we are having in September.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we call it the Daily Devotion Convention because we have the Daily Devotion on the website and on the WhatsApp platform, and we're trying to bring in all these different men of God who've been ministering, and it will be an international convention right here in Lusaka, Zambia. And I want to take this opportunity to make this as an announcement, and I can already see people who've registered. And we tried to extend the time to close the registration in March, but I'm afraid, you know, Brother Lawrence Ted told me, hey, you know, This is too close to the event is in September, and you're trying to
okay.
close it so early, and that is when I extended it.
All right.
But I'm getting afraid. I'm looking at people who are registering, and we may close it soon.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe others may have to listen by online. So if you haven't done so, please, you can request for the link for the registration. We'll send it up to you.
Yes.
And but we may be closing registration soon. It's on first come, first serve basis. But this will be a beautiful time, Brother Nzima, where we want different believers of like faith coming from all these different places. A wonderful time of listening to preachings and sermons. A wonderful time of open sharing, where people can testify, brothers and sisters, share what God is doing in their lives.
Yes.
This will be very unique, okay? And a time of praise and worship through the evening sessions, and that is synergy. When believers come together, like Paul said, I think those were Roman believers, he says, so that I come to you and impart, you know, some spiritual gift. When believers come together, there is a certain impartation that happens. Strength gets imparted, encouragement, inspiration, admonishment, and these are things which have helped me in my life. You know, the first place I visited when I was very new in the message, the first trip I made outside the country was Zimbabwe, Chitungwiza, Pastor Veremo.
Yes.
You know, he's an elder in the faith, and he has a special place in my heart. So much I have learned from his ministry. And I had seen his name, you know, in one book, and I visited him, and it was so wonderful to me. I'll never forget that first time I visited there, and from time to time we've invited him coming over here, and every time he has visited us, it's been a wonderful time, you know, to sit under that anointed ministry. And so I'm looking forward to September, Brother Nzima, and we really want different men of God to minister, and I trust it's going to be a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
And let's talk about the last thing, then we
finally
close.
Sharpen the saw, and if you want to keep, that is, if you want to keep sowing.
Yes.
You know, Pastor, there's a lot I've learned, especially when we had our crossover night fellowship.
Yes.
I don't want to use my saw, that's S-A-W, the cutting.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to use my saw to cut vegetables. I want to use it to cut trees.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for me to be able to cut trees, I need to keep it sharp. Because remember, we can boast of having the saw quite all right, but maybe blunt.
Yeah.
We can get familiar. Past victories, what God has done, past testimonies we are used. And we, as we are used with the testimonies, we tell them, we become numb. The saw becomes blunt. When a saw is blunt, it becomes ineffective. It means the weight will be a struggle.
You know, I once heard one famous charismatic preacher say, the greatest enemy of success is your last achievement.
That's right.
Maybe something which had happened, and then, well, you think you've arrived.
Yes.
May we never take that route.
That's right.
May we always come humbly before him, because that moment we will think we are full, that's the time the oil will stop flowing from the pot.
That's right.
You know, Brother Nzima, I want to have an attitude of a child. Every time I stand before God, every time I go for mission, I don't want to reach a point where I think I've arrived, I've reached. But every time I go in the presence of God, I want to approach his throne of mercy as though I am born again today. When I am listening to another servant of God preaching, I want to listen to it like I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that very day. I want to do whatever I can to grab what I can learn from that ministry. And so let us always sharpen.
And Pastor, let me request this as we're ending.
Yes.
Please give us a prayer. Let's end with a prayer.
Amen.
I believe there's someone who's been touched there.
Yeah.
And there's somebody who is maybe they've been doubting, scared.
Yeah.
Others, they're zealous, but they don't know where to start from. They don't know what to do. They can feel a bubbling. God is telling them that they can do more in his kingdom.
Amen.
I want you to pray for all those who are going to listen. All those who have been touched, and they want God to use them this year to the maximum, to maximize the
kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
We thank you for this session we've had talking about all these different things. And Lord, as we've entered this new year, we desire to triple our efforts.
Yes, Lord.
because we really feel we are running out of time.
Yes,
and now there could be someone listening, and these words have reached their hearts.
Yes,
others have a desire, but they don't know how to pick themselves up to start moving. Lord, you are the one who is the enabler. But when there is a hunger, Lord, we've known you to never, you never despise a broken and a contrite heart.
That's right.
I pray especially for the young, those who are coming up.
Yes,
may there be a blazing zeal, a desire for each one to be on the post of duty. I pray for the elderly, everyone who is a believer, brother and sister.
Yes, Lord.
All who have a desire and they're listening to this.
Yes, Lord,
Lord, may they receive that infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
That will shake the foundations of their hearts.
Yes,
all the ones who've backslidden and they're in cold slumber.
Yes, Lord.
They could be excited, they're chosen, but yet they are the frozen chosen.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you haven't called us to be frozen. We need to stand up, be fired up, and do exploits for the kingdom of God. May this be a year of prayer, be a year of fasting, be a year of revival, be a year of going out to win that soul who hasn't yet received the word of God. All the gifts which are sleeping, Lord, I pray for that brother, sister who is listening, and they are slumbering, they are asleep. May something happen in their lives that they may be awake. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you've prayed that prayer with us and you have questions or you wish to testify, well, we love to hear testimonies from you. You can always contact us on 0979-316098. If you are contacting us from outside Zambia, plus 260-979-316098. Brother Nzima, that brings us to the end of this session.
Amen.
Shalom and God bless everyone.